Chapter 1. Any gathering of the sons of Tancred de Hauteville was bound to end up in reminiscence, and this, taking place in the vestry of an Italian cathedral, given there were five of his offspring present, was no exception. They recollected the memories of growing up in the unruly Normandy region of the Cotentin, of escapades, past quarrels, fights they had engaged in with each other, but more importantly with their neighbours, as well as raiders from the islands that lay off the Norman coast. And they talked of their father, sometimes in awe, sometimes with gales of laughter, but mostly with wry affection. Tancred de Hauteville had been a noted warrior, as well as a man who bred sturdy and numerous sons. There were another seven brothers still at home, the product of two wives, and he had raised them to be puissant warriors like himself. Their rank, as the offspring of a petty Norman baron, required no less. From their very first taken steps, they had been tutored in the use of weapons, toy wooden swords and shields, replaced by metal as soon as they could handle the weight, growing strong by constant practice, gifted on land and in water, swimming in the river that ran through the family fields and then in the crashing waves of the nearby great ocean. The time came when they could mount first a pony and then a horse. They had been taught to ride and use a lance so that one day they could, if fortune favoured them as it had their father, serve in battle under their liege lord, the Duke of Normandy, as part of a mounted fighting force greatly feared throughout Europe. Well fed on the produce of Tancred's fertile domain, the sons came eventually to match and even tower over a parent, whose own great height was often remarked upon. Tancred never let them forget their Viking heritage, or that the five elder boys, through their mother, were half-blood relations to the ducal house. They came from a race and a lineage bred for combat. It was not for them, but for others to cut timber, grow food, to sow and reap crops, to work the family salt pans and exploit the fishing rights which provided the means by which they could be armed. Each had been provided with the weapons and equipment necessary for the tasks that lay ahead, the horses needed to carry them and their equipment to war, as well as a destrier to ride in battle, a sharp-tipped lance, a heavy double-edged sword, a shield framed in metal, covered with hard wood and leather and painted in the de Hauteville colours of blue and white. Most expensive of all, but vital, each had been gifted a set of protective armour, a chain mail hauberk, gloves and a helmet. The duty of vassalage obliged Tancred to provide to his duke 10 lances, and that he had done, a task made so much easier as his elder sons, one by one and a year apart, grew to match, then surpass his fighting ability. They also aided him mightily in his endemic disputes with neighbours, usually over land, water, or rights to the produce of the Atlantic shoreline. And given their talent for combat, the name de Hauteville had soon become one to be respected in the Cotentin. Yet that very number of sons brought with it a greater problem. The petty barony of Hauteville-le-Guichard could feed them as they grew to manhood, could arm and mount them to be warriors, but it was too small a domain to satisfy their needs as adults. They required land of their own on which to raise families and to provide for them the revenues which supported a fighting knight. Tancred had sought to get them placed as personal knights, part of the familia of his liege lord, the son of the man he himself had served so faithfully. That suzerain, Duke Robert of Normandy, had ignored written requests more than once, and had then rebuffed the same appeal in a face-to-face meeting. For men bred to war with no hope of advancement in their homeland, the brothers de Hauteville, first William and Drogo, and now joined by Humphrey, Geoffrey, and half-brother Morge, had taken the well-worn route to Italy and mercenary service, where the martial prowess of the Normans was highly prized and well rewarded. "Enough," William insisted, as Drogo continued to relate those amatory adventures he had indulged in at home, quite forgetting that